to our service today, and I'm glad we have a roof. Amen? And we're going to be looking at chapter 3 of who we are. What did we look at last week? Who remembers? Okay, we looked primarily though at the soul. That we aren't a soul. We have a soul. It's part of our being. It's part of our makeup. It's part of who we are. This morning we're going to look at one that we all know about. As I asked last week, how many people have ever seen their soul? Have you ever seen it? Has a doctor ever opened you up and found it? It's immaterial. You will not find it no matter how much you look. But the one we're going to look at today, everyone knows we have a body, right? And we have, when we think about the human body, and when I say we're going to look at the human body, but when we think about life, you know, in particular, life is a miracle, and life is so complex. Human beings, our bodies are so complex. It's absolutely mind-boggling that anyone honestly can believe that we are the product of blind random chance. Like, it is so preposterous. I would say that you almost have to be insane to believe that we are a product of blind random chance. And if you believe that, I'm sorry for insulting you this morning, but I don't think anybody believes that. When we think about the complexities of life, we're going to look at a bunch of different systems in our bodies today. And we are only going to look at a few. But when we look at the complexities of our body, what God has created, we can just take one of those complexities, for instance, the human eye, and how incredibly complex it is. But that in itself is enough to say, hey, listen, there's no possible way that something so complex as an eye could come through mutations or blind random chance. That is ridiculous. But then to think that we have hundreds of other intricate, delicate, very, very complex systems in our bodies, and they all work together to form a person. It's the odds, you know, if you're an odds maker, I'm not betting on that one, amen? Now, when I'm a little bit sometimes over... I got way too much time on my hands, let's just say that, especially when I smash my finger and I'm off work, you know. You got nothing to do all day. So when I was at work, when I was at Ford, just before the plant closed, I had an iron bar fall on my finger and crush it, ended up on a 45-degree angle that way, and the bones were hanging out, and there were splinters everywhere. And the nurse, Dr. Dobbs, or Nurse Dobbs, he said to me, oh, it might just be dislocated. And I told him in a loving way, I said, I think it's time for you to retire, okay? That is not dislocated, and my it's not supposed to bend there. So anyways, I went to the hospital. They did an x-ray, and they said, yeah, your bone in there is all shattered. It was splintered. And the one surgeon said to me, you know, you've got about I would say less than 50% chance of keeping that finger from there down. And I was almost going to say, you know what, there was only like a little tiny, I'm sorry for those that might be little, there was only like a small piece of skin over here that was holding it on. That's all that was holding it on. And I almost said to the doctor, you know what, just take it off. It might be less work. But then I got thinking, you know, typing, I'd have to go like over here all the time with this finger. And I thought, that'd be hard to type. And other things. So I thought, well, you know what, let him give it a chance. Let him try to put it back together. So they straightened it out and they tried to do their best. They put some pins in it. And like I said, I had way too much time on my hands. So I went home and I started researching how was my body going to fix itself. And I found out some of the processes. Again, I'm a very curious person. I like to know. So I found out that the bones will actually fused together, first of all, with cartilage. It'll start off as soft cartilage, so you'll have a bit of a rubber finger for a little bit. And then that soft cartilage is going to turn into hard cartilage, and eventually it's going to harden into bone. And so it's reconstructing my bone. And I found out a lot more than I intended to find out, and things you don't think about. When your bone is all splinters and that cartilage forms, there's going to be pieces of splinter that's going to be stuck out like this, and you know, there's going to be all kinds of crazy things happening in there. And then I was reading that the human body, if you end up with a splinter, like a piece of bone sticking out like that, it'll form a piece of cartilage around that bone and eventually dissolve it off so that your bone is smooth again. Now stop and think about that for a second. Who what's in there, and who told it what a human bone is supposed to look like? And how does anything inside my finger know that a piece of bone sticking out like that is wrong? And it's absolutely amazing that would do that. So, of course, I had a bad year. I had about a year and a half period where I decided I wanted to start breaking everything. So I broke my finger, and then I broke my hand, and then I decided to see what my fingers would look like if I put them in a table saw. Don't try that at home, though. Really, don't do that. So I got my two fingers here with a table saw blade, went into the hospital. And after about 7 hours of waiting in the hospital, in the waiting room, I finally got to see a doctor. And you got nothing else to do. Started witnessing him. I was witnessing to people in the waiting room. 7 hours in there, not going anywhere. And maybe if I chase him off, I'll get in sooner. Amen. So I started witnessing to this doctor, and I asked him. I said, "Listen." I said, "You know, because I researched my finger when I did this." And I knew some of the things that were going on in here. And I said, "Listen, right now my blood is sending information. My red blood cells are sending information to this damaged area. It's sending medicine and books and oxygen and all kinds of things. Surgeons are being dispatched to my fingers right now. There are millions and millions of little surgeons in there right now going to work to repair what you can't. You went to school to be a doctor. You went to school for a long time and cheated really good to be a doctor." And I said, "Are you going to tell me you understand all of that? You understand the complexities of the human body? My body rerouted blood vessels around the damaged area to get blood to the tips of my fingers. So there's damage control. There's guys down there, you know, men at work, you know, go this way. Detour. So my blood goes this way to get up to the end of my finger so my fingers don't die, essentially." And so I said, "You know all of this is taking place." And I said, "Do you believe?" And I said, "That's only one little area of human complexity." And I said, Do you believe him for a minute that this happened by chance?" And he said to me, "Well," he says, "it does sound a little bit preposterous." He said, "But to be a doctor, we have to believe in evolution. Because all medicine is based, foundation is evolution. We've got to look at everything as a thing that evolved." And I said, but seriously, do you believe it? Do you honestly think that all of the complexity of the human body that you know to be true could possibly come by chance?" And he said, "No." And I said, "Why is everybody denying creation?" And I said, "Well," I told him, "even if it was possible to happen by chance, we'd need more than 4.5 billion years. We'd need trillions of years for all of the complexities to come together. We think about the human body. Your body is made up of 37.2 trillion cells. Now, I don't know who counted those. I'm glad I didn't, though. Amen. Imagine if you lost count about 3 trillion, 4 trillion, you had to start all over again. They estimate, according to one study, there's about 37.2 trillion cells in the human body. Now, I'm going to really ask who is on top of their math. There are how many people in the world? About 7 billion. So if there's 37.2 trillion cells in each body, how many cells are there in the world? Okay, I get your phones out for that one. There's a lot, 37.2 trillion cells in your body. We're being asked a lot, is that new granddaughter here yet? And we're going, no. She's late. She takes after her father. 9 months ago, how many cells was that little girl? One. Now, I know Keith manufactures things, and he manufactures things to extreme tolerances, like really extreme tolerances. And, you know, Connor builds and frames houses, and, you know, you got to look at blueprints to build those houses right. And there might be other people here that have manufactured things in their garages, made some, you know, messes, you know, whatever it may be. And we know that even to make something like framing a house or building machinery parts to extreme tolerances takes a lot of thought, and it takes a lot of knowledge, and it takes a lot of, you know, putting a, who does jigsaw puzzles? I'm glad you have more patience than me. But putting all those right pieces in the right places, listen, in 9 months, you all went from one cell to 37.2 trillion cells, and every one of those cells in your body knows exactly what it's supposed to do, and they all work together. You can't even get five Baptist preachers in one room and get them all to work together and agree on everything. It just doesn't. They're all doing what they know exactly they're supposed to do. Could you imagine putting together in 9 months a jigsaw puzzle that has 37.2 trillion pieces? And I got another one for you. And you have to create the pieces. You have to make them. You're going, Pastor, you know, that's just crazy. I couldn't do that. No one could do that. Well, God did. And God does every time a life comes into this world. We are so complex. These little cells as well, you know, years and years ago, they used to look at these cells as being, you know, just little blobs of matter with energy in them. But now with microscopes and the electron microscopes, we can look into a cell and realize exactly how complex. There are things going on in every cell of your body. It's a minute world. It's a little universe. Every one of those trillions of cells in itself is highly complex, beyond anything that we could even understand. What they say the most complex thing that man has ever built was a space shuttle. And you look at airplanes and some of the complex things that we've made. None of those even come close to the complexities of one of those trillions of cells in your body. There was a fella who wrote this in National Geographic's magazine. He said, it would be mind-boggling for the early cell biologist to see this, talking about our ability to look through electron microscopes now. They had no idea the cell was so chock full of things. The cell has turned out to be a micro-universe. And okay, I'm gonna throw another one in there. A 3.7 trillion piece jigsaw puzzle. You have to make the pieces, and it's on a extreme micro scale. So when you're done, it's going to be about 37.2 trillion cells, and when you're done, it's going to be about the size of you or a little baby. God can do those things. Our blood, the Bible says that the life of the flesh is in the blood, and this is a truth that God revealed many, many years ago, that our body, all of those cells, when they came together, God put them together and brought life to them. That life is contained in our blood. If we didn't have blood, we could not live. We can live with a lot of things, but we can't live without blood. Blood, like I said, it brings all of the oxygen and nourishment and materials needed to repair, to keep everything alive, to keep everything functioning. How many people have ever woke up this morning and your arm is like this and it's numb and it feels like it's 400 pounds? And you go, like, and it's just nothing there. Like, it's dead. And you're kind of going to wake up, and it starts getting the blood flowing again, and you get needles and pins and some pain and all of that stuff. Well, what happens when your hand or your arm go to sleep? You've robbed it of its blood supply. And so nothing works. Without the blood in there, you can't feel, and your muscles don't work. Nothing works. Our blood system is extremely complex. If you think about it, the blood brings life-giving oxygen and nourishment to every part of our body. There are about 10 pints of blood in your body. And that blood is circulated through, listen to this, 60,000 miles. 60,000 miles of veins in your body. If you were to take all of the veins and the arteries and capillaries in your body and you wrap them around the world seven times, it would go around the world seven times. Just the veins in your body. And the heart, the most efficient pump in the world, it's responsible to keep this blood circulating through the body. It beats on average about 70 to 75 times every minute. Every single day, your heart pumps 5 to 6,000 quarts of blood in one day. 5 to 6,000 quarts of blood. In a lifespan of 70 years, your heart would pump about 35 million gallons. 35 million gallons. The heart never gets... Have you ever got sore muscles? Have you ever got sore legs? You've been running up a hill, up the stairs. You got sore arms. You've been carrying something too long. And you know, you just can't... You can't run anymore. You can't hold it anymore. You know, because I need a rest. I got to put it down. Your muscles all need rest. They can't keep going. You know, we can run, we can do marathons, and we can run even farther than that, but eventually our muscles are going to need rest. But you know what? Your heart never rests. It never gets tired. It never says, okay, you know, I've had enough. If you push your body, your heart will keep up. Your legs will get tired, but your heart will be fine. It may be pumping faster, but it's fine. It's not knocking at, you know, the door and saying, hey, man, you better stop because I can't handle this pace anymore. Your heart never gets tired. It never stops pumping. And you think about that. If you drove your car 24/7, how long would your car last if you never stopped driving it? How about your washing machine? Never turned it off, just kept it going constantly. Would it last very long? But your heart never stops. Listen, you go to sleep at night, all your muscles relax, and they are regenerating. But guess what keeps going? Your heart. Your heart keeps going. And then there's our skeletal system as well. The bones are, if you want to look at it this way, they're structural steel, and they're reinforced concrete of the human body. They support the body the same way that a steel or wooden framework supports a building, and they protect its vital organs as well, the same way that a concrete roof protects a building's occupants. An average adult has over 200 separate bones. Also within the bones, and this is an amazing thing, within the bones, there's an amazing blood manufacturing factory. Your bone marrow is responsible for producing your blood. We looked at the fact that there were about 10 pints of blood in your body. If you got cut and you lost a couple of those pints, your bone marrow is going to go to work to replace those or that missing blood. Blood cells are made inside your bones. And listen to this. In less time than it takes to count to 200, I was thinking when I was looking at this, maybe I should get somebody to start counting, but we won't do that. How long would it take you to count to 200? About 200 seconds. In that time, your bones will produce more than 100 million new cells in the time it takes you to count to 200. That manufacturing, talking about manufacturing. And each one of those cells is incredibly complex. And we talk about how long it would take you to frame a house or build intricate parts for a machine. You're not going to do that. I put out 100 million an hour. You know, no problem. We can do 100 million an hour precisely. We'd say that's absolutely crazy. Nobody can work that fast. Well, your bone marrow does, producing 100 million new cells. Muscles. There are more than 600 muscles in the human body, and all of these muscles are attached or anchored to your bones by tendons and ligaments. Now, your bones are the anchor points for your muscles. If you didn't have bones, your muscles couldn't work. Now, when you're younger, you don't understand everything. We were talking the other day about things we used to believe when you were younger that you realize when you're older they're not true. And I used to always think, you know, these were the muscles that make your fingers work, you know, flex my muscles. But you know, you realize after a while, actually you're moving your fingers. And all of the muscles that are moving your fingers are down here in your wrist. They're all here, this big area right here. That's all of that is taking place in here. And when you can feel, when you do that, you can feel all your muscles in here working. And there's tendons that go up through loops or pulleys. And they go through all these pulleys, and they go right up, more pulleys, so that I can bend, I can on that finger, but you can bend that little thing right there. There's little pulleys in there that allow you to do that. All this is complex, this system, our muscular system. And could you imagine, we take things for granted. We take our abilities for granted. How many people would watch a guy catch a baseball and think, man, that is absolutely just mind-boggling that I could throw a baseball and he could run and catch it. Would anybody really think that's a big deal? No. Well, what's the big deal about going and catching a baseball? But when you, again, here's the amazing thing. When you think about all of the processes that are involved in just catching a baseball, you know, again, you've got all of these hand muscles that are working. And then your legs are running. And your toes are again the muscles in your toes that you know that go right up, you know, they're all working, and your brain is processing information about the timing and all of the surrounding things that your senses would pick up, if you will. And so all of these things are happening, and you're just doing it, you're not even thinking about doing it. You don't sit there and process in your mind when you're running to catch a baseball. You're not processing in your mind, well, I got to make sure my toes are working, and I got to make sure my ankles and my knees and all of my hips and everything, all of the hundreds of muscles that are involved in catching a baseball, and then the coordination and all of the different things. There are literally thousands of processes that are all going on at the same time just to get you to catch a baseball. Incredible. You watch what humans can do, gymnastics, and all of the various things that a human being can do, and all of the processes that are involved. It's an incredible thing. And that brings us to the human brain. The brain is a complex system as well, and so is the central nervous system. Our human brain processes, we don't really understand this, because at any one time, our brain, especially men, can only process one thing at a time. Why are you laughing? We're not multitaskers, right? But whether we are aware of it or not, our brain is processing every single second 100,000 pieces of information. Like, right now, my brain is processing whether it's raining out or not. For instance, if it was raining, I may not be thinking about it, but my brain would be hearing the rain. My brain is aware of the temperature of my feet. My brain is aware that I'm feeling some breeze from the fans. There's senses. We've got five senses, and all of these senses are sending information to our brain, and our brain is continually processing information about what's going on around us, what is going on inside of us. And, you know, it's amazing. How many people think a computer is pretty complex? Yeah, computers are amazingly complex. What computers can do. I remember my first computer, 2 gigs on the hard drive. Took about a month to load a program. You go to Tim Hortons and come back, and your program would still be loading. Now computers are so fast and so incredibly complex as well. Our brains are such a complex piece of machinery, and it would almost be incredible to think that it could have come by blind random chance. Computers just don't happen. The human body is the world's most incredible piece of machinery. You know, it manufactures, it improves, and it repairs itself. Our body does. And we can survive without our gallbladder, our spleen, our tonsils, our appendix. We can survive without one lung, one kidney. We can survive without 2/5 of our liver, part of our brain, most of our stomach. We can survive without our eyes, our ears, our arms, and our legs. What about your car? Would your car do very well if you took the wheels off? One spark plug, your car, you know, it may run, but it's not going to run very well. You know, we can survive without all of these things. And then again, as I mentioned, the human eye. The human eye is one of the most incredible creations when we look at the complexities of the eye. I do a little bit of photography. I don't do as much as I used to, but my camera that I have now is about 27 megapixels. And when I want to focus on something, it has manual focus and it has autofocus. But even if I press the button for autofocus, it takes a few seconds, or, well, maybe not a few seconds, but it takes, you can see it focusing. You know, your eye is instant focus. As soon as you look at something, it's focused. There's no blurriness. You look and it's focused. Your eye is about equivalent, when you think about all of the millions and millions of nerves and different things that are in the back of your eye that make it possible to see, it would be equivalent to a camera of about 137 megapixels. It's instant focus. And one of the most incredible things about the human eye is that we have two of them. What would happen if we only had one eye? Don't say our glasses would be cheaper. What would happen if we only had one eye? What's that? Three pats of pirate. Yeah. What would we lose? Depth perception. That guy trying to catch that baseball or trying to judge how far things are apart. With our eyes, it gives us the ability, you know, if we tried to catch something. You know, I used to work with a guy at Ford that had one eye. We used to call him One Eye Billy. Anyways. I tried to work on the line with one eye closed, and it didn't go very well because I had no depth perception. Try to put a nut on something, and you miss. You just can't get it. You lose your depth perception. So we have two eyes, and our eyes both give our brain the exact same pieces of information. They work in tandem with one another. One doesn't give a different signal than the other. And this is extremely complex as well, that our eyes are both able to do this. And they're again, incredible. Can I get somebody? Well, let's turn to Psalms 139 and verse 14. Psalms 139 and 14. And, you know, when we think about the two cameras in our, really, that's what our eyes are, two extremely complex cameras. But we have hearing and smelling and taste and touch. All of these things are extremely complex. And can I get somebody to read Psalms 139 and verse 14? Okay, so again, one of the most wonderful things about the human body, and again, I mentioned this earlier, we can look at the central nervous system. We can look at our brain. We can look at our skin, which is an incredible organ, and how it feels and does so many different functions. We have our eyes and ears and all of these different things, all of these trillions of cells, and the most incredible part of our body is everything works together perfectly. Everything works together. Our hearing and our smell and our eyes and our central nervous system and our brain and our feet and our hands, everything works together in order for you to have a functioning body. Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verses 12 to 27 talk about the church as being the body or a body. And there it talks about everyone in the body having a different function. You know, you're this and you're that and you're an eye and you're an ear and you're a foot. And you know, you're the central nervous system and you're the brain and you're all of these things. And God says He puts the body together so that we are a proper body. We can't all be ears. We can't all be smell. We can't all be this, noses or whatever it may be. And when we stop and think about the human body and we start thinking about the comparison that God makes to the body and to the church and how everything in our body works together, not for their own glory and not for their own satisfaction and not so that they'll be exalted, but just so we can be one. I think understanding our human body helps us understand what Paul is saying there in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 about our need to work together. You know, as a functioning body, and understand that, you know, our body isn't going to function as well if something's missing, if one of the members are missing. These are really good examples for us. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 26 and James chapter 2 verses 15 and 16 that the body needs food and water and clothing. We need these things. And the Bible also tells us in Matthew 6 and verse 32 that God the Father knows exactly what we need for our bodies to keep it functioning and to keep it healthy. Our bodies, last week we looked at the soul, our bodies are the temple or the dwelling place of our soul. Our body is its vessel. So this also brings in another interesting thought. When we think about the responsibility of us to keep our bodies in good shape, could you imagine what would you consider to be the holiest place in the world? Maybe if you've gone over to Jerusalem, you've been to some pretty holy places. Places, you know, unfortunately, the Catholics have taken over a lot, and so have the Muslims and stuff, but you know, there's lots of places over there that are holy, if you will. Could you imagine going into one of those places and it was dilapidated and there was dust everywhere and there was garbage all over the place? What would you think? This is a holy place. And you would think, you know, wow, you know, this I don't know if I want to even be here. Let's go somewhere else. And you know, we've got to understand that our bodies, according to the Bible, is a holy place. And when we talk about holy, it's sanctified and it's set apart, and it is the dwelling place of the Spirit of God. It is the temple of God. Your body. God gave us a spirit. God gave us a soul that dwell within our bodies. And we need to take care of our bodies, and we need to understand God is living inside of us. And so, again, we must understand our responsibility to take care of that particular vessel. 2 Corinthians, turn in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 8. I love this verse, and our confidence. We have confidence. The Bible says there, we are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. And so there, again, Paul is talking about the simple fact that there's going to be a day when we, our souls, are going to be absent from these bodies. We're moving out someday. And we're going to have another body. We're going to be given a glorified body. We're going to be given one, and I'm glad about this, it doesn't age, amen? It doesn't tire, it doesn't wear out. It's going to be an immortal body. And that's going to be a wonderful, wonderful day when that takes place. But in the meantime, as we live here in this body, we've got to be stewards of it. The soul lives in the body, but if you are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, who else is living in your body? The Spirit of God. The Spirit of God lives in your body. And 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 20, the Bible says that we are to glorify God in our bodies. So it's one thing for us to understand the complexities of our body, and it's one thing for us to understand how everything works, and I think it's good to know all those things. I think God wants us to know all these things, how God has created us. But at the same time, we've got to understand when we think about our bodies, that our bodies are to be used to glorify God. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 20 also talks about that. What are some things that we can do with our bodies that dishonor God? We're getting a little close to home here. What are some things that we can do that might dishonor God? Yes. Okay, well, yeah, stealing would certainly dishonor God. Smoking? And okay, filling it with alcohol, toxin, and smoking. And here's one. I know a pastor down in the States, we used to have him come up to camp all the time. Osteen, not Olstein, Osteen. And he got preaching one time about smoking and drinking and taking care of your body, and then he looked in the mirror and he says, I don't think I'm doing a very good job. And this is the one that sometimes gets close to home, is overeating. You know, we're gorging ourselves. We have so much in Canada, North America. We have more food than we need. We got to, you know, again, eating properly. I think a gluttony is a sin. At least my mom used to tell me one. And also, you know, when we think about the different parts of our body, it dishonors our body when we use the wrong language. It dishonors our body when we use our eyes in the wrong way. How can we use our eyes in the wrong way? Looking at the wrong lust, looking at the wrong things on the internet, looking at the wrong things in the magazine rack, whatever it may be. Our ears, listening to the wrong thing, our mouth, brain, muscles, everything can be used in the wrong way. Yeah, the Bible says we are to glorify God. How can we glorify our eyes, use our eyes to glorify God? Just using our eyes to behold the beauty of His creation. And our ears and our tongue and our mouth and all these things can be used for His glory. The Bible says when Jesus Christ came to this world, there was a body that was prepared for Him in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 25. He became a man. Christ became a man. He had a human body exactly like you and I have. Flesh, blood, bones, nerves, hunger, tiredness, weariness, pain, all of the things that you and I experience, he experienced as well. But Jesus Christ never used His body to sin. He never used His body to dishonor God. And, you know, we can never say, well, no, I didn't lie, my tongue did. We can't say, you know, my hand stole the money. It was my hand. You know, it was you. Your soul that used your body to commit sin. And you know, we've got to understand that our body's not responsible. Our body is not responsible. Our soul is responsible for what we do with our body and how we keep it. We should never forget that the Lord's body was sacrificed on the cross. The Bible says who his own self bore our sins in his own body on the tree. We find that in 1 Peter 2 and verse 24, Matthew 26 and 26, 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 24. He used his body to glorify God, but he also gave his body, he gave himself as a ransom for our sins, and we can never forget that. So let's not forget we are wonderfully, we're fearfully, and we're incredibly made. Amen? And when we stop and understand a little more about this body that God gave us to use for His glory, let's make sure we're doing that. Let's make sure we understand what it is and why it was given to us, and let's honor and glorify God. Father, we thank you for this time together. Would you bless as we go into the morning service? We pray that you would be with the service, the message. Also, as we think about the young people downstairs, would you bless and honor them, as well as we think about the wonderful opportunity to minister to the kids. So bless. We'll thank you. We'll praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.